Today on Annenberg Radio News.
A lot of people are scared of South LA because of the gang crime. A lot of people really don't pay attention that much to parks no more because they think they're in a danger zone.
A plan for more green space takes root in South LA. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 18th, 2008. I'm Brian Frank. The final embers of the Southern California fires are being stamped out today, and President Bush has declared Southern California a disaster area. The wildfires scorched thousands of acres and hundreds of homes, and they have increased the state's deficit to just over $11 billion. Dangerous winds and a sagging economy have put a strain on California's already struggling insurance companies. But the state insurance agency's Daryl Ng says insurers will be able to weather this crisis.
The companies that are operating in California should be fine. And it's important to note that insurance companies are very, very conservative in their investments. Most of their investments aren't in the volatile stock market.
The president's disaster declaration will provide California with the funds to rebuild and support displaced victims. At this hour, authorities in Santa Barbara are holding a news conference to reveal what they call significant developments in the investigation of the Tea Fire. That fire in Montecito destroyed 210 homes. For the first time in its history, the California State University is going to cap admissions. Applications to Cal State universities are up by 10%, but next year, admissions will be cut by 10,000 students to make up for budget constraints. Lillian Tace is president of the California Faculty Association. She spoke out against the cuts at a rally today at Cal State Long Beach. For the 2009-2010 school year, Cal State schools will push up application deadlines and raise academic requirements on some campuses. The cuts are expected to disproportionately affect lower-income and minority groups whose options for higher education are limited. The Cal State system educates 450,000 people on 23 campuses. It's been 2 years since the Safer City Initiative was implemented, but just how effective is this program? At the police commissioner's meeting, city officials and advocacy groups discussed the implications of the initiative. Sunny Johnston has more.
Safer City Initiative is designed to reduce crime and improve the quality of life for poor residents, especially the homeless on the skid row. The program increases police surveillance, monitors hospitals that dump patients, and helps the poor to locate affordable housing. Arif Alakon is with the mayor's office.
When comparing crime statistics over the last year from November 1st, 2007 to October 31st, 2008, we have realized nearly a 40% reduction in violent crime, a 35% reduction in property crime, and an overall reduction of 36% in both categories.
The LAPD says the program has reduced the number of homeless people sleeping on the street by two-thirds. Peter Biebring of the ACLU says the homeless may not be sleeping on the streets of Skid Row, but that doesn't mean they're not homeless.
The reduction in people living on the street from 1,800 to 700 to 800 should not be termed a success unless we know where those people have gone.
More importantly, says Biebring, the increased surveillance has violated civil rights of the homeless.
Those who find themselves sleeping on the street because they have no other place to go should not be clapped in handcuffs and taken to jail.
Biebring says that without providing a housing solution, the homeless crisis is simply moving to different parts of the city. Sunny Johnston, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Ethics Commission gave City Councilman Tony Cardenas a slightly higher penalty today for election violations. Cardenas has paid a staggering $20,000 for more than 30 campaign violations. The fines come mostly from accepting personal contributions that exceed the $500 limit. Former Mayor Richard Riordan might also be fined for some sketchy mailers. The commission postponed a vote on his case. An L.A. City Councilman made a contribution this morning to help the LAPD test its huge backlog of rape kits. Aaron Darling has the story.
Councilman Jack Weiss presented LAPD Chief William Bratton with a check for $250,000 for an outside firm to test DNA in rape kits.
It's my hope that this contribution of $250,000 will send the right message to current and potential private donors.
But even this large donation can only test 250 of the 7,000 estimated backlogged rape kits. Kits which contain DNA evidence that could help identify sexual predators. But after 10 years, LAPD can no longer prosecute these crimes. Deputy Chief Charlie Beck.
This money is about bringing justice to victims that unfortunately has been denied.
LAPD is looking for more donations. Karen Wagner, Board Chair of Police Foundation.
We're hopeful that the community will help us because, as we know, in tough economic times, it can't be done entirely by government and it can't be done entirely by any one individual.
LA City Council also donated $250,000 to outsource DNA testing last month. Aaron Darling, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Villaraigosa was on hand in Watts today to celebrate the grand opening of a brand new 9-classroom building at a local charter school. Scott Schlesinger has the story.
Well, what's happening today is that we're celebrating the opening of our new building.
The Watts Learning Center opened its new 9-classroom building this morning. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and the state superintendent of schools joined community leaders and students to celebrate the school's academic achievements. The charter school opened in 1997 with the goal of giving students more personal attention and the foundations for success in high school and college. The mayor says the new building represents more than just another school.
For me, this is a template of the kind of success that can and should occur in schools all across the city.
State Superintendent Jack O'Connell believes the Watts Learning Center is vital to the future of Watts.
This is a school that's much needed. It's a low socioeconomic neighborhood. This is a school that's helping us close the achievement gap. It's a school that's committed and focused on personalized, individualized instructional opportunities for its students.
The school serves 340 kindergarten through 6th grade students and will open a middle school next year. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
The weather has brought some relief to fire officials this week. Tonight is going to be clear except for some late-night clouds. Temperatures will be in the mid-50s. Wednesday, however, will be sunny after some early morning clouds. The high will be in the mid-70s, and for Thursday, expect a high of 74 degrees. Take the Stage, a nonprofit student theater organization at USC, is putting on a play called Mud at the Village Gate, starting Friday and running through the weekend. Admission is free, but donations are encouraged. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Cal State students and faculty react to next year's budget cuts. City Councilman Tony Cardenas called on an elephant expert today to help him convince the City Council that Billy the Elephant shouldn't be in the Los Angeles Zoo. Winston Chua reports.
Acclaimed elephant biologist Dr. Joyce Poole has been working with animals for more than 30 years. She says Billy the elephant is suffering.
When he's in captivity, he's getting much less exercise. He's getting fed a lot, puts on a lot of weight, which then triggers must at an earlier age. But now in the zoo, he's in almost continuously.
Musk is a bodily secretion from an elephant. It means an elephant is overly aggressive, frustrated, and hypersensitive.
All of his natural drives are being thwarted, and he's in this tiny space with nothing to do.
The LA Zoo is building a $40 million exhibit to give Billy a new home. It is 30% complete and would be 3.5 acres. But City Councilman Tony Cardenas wants to divert the money from the exhibit to construct a 60-acre sanctuary that he says would save taxpayers $20 million. An LA Council committee 2 weeks ago rejected his proposal to halt work on the exhibit. Zoo Director John Lewis says that some of Billy's behaviors are eccentric, but normal. Zoo spokesman Jason Jacobs says Billy receives, quote, excellent care. And he says kids can learn from Billy. But that's not good enough for Councilman Cardenas.
So the bottom line is it's cute and nice for kids to see elephants. They love them. But once they find out that elephants are suffering in zoos, right away they say, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see an elephant in the zoo.
Cardenas is supported by celebrities such as Bob Barker and Alicia Silverstone. Tomorrow, Cardenas will ask the LA City Council to endorse a multimedia animal exhibit that will not involve using live elephants. Winston Chua, Annenberg Radio News.
Green. It's something Los Angeles doesn't have much of at the moment. That could apply to the city's finances, which took a hit after the market tanked. But the city is also lacking green space. Both LA City and County are working to improve the area's environmental record. This morning, the city council started talking about a program to green up unsightly alleyways. The county supervisors also mulled over the benefits of a group that would enforce eco-friendly building standards. Already, green space is sprouting up around the city. As Harmony April reports, one park in South LA is helping to change a neighborhood.
The winding paths are lined with tall, bushy plants. Kids are skipping rocks across a pond. Patrice Miles says she might never know she was in South Los Angeles.
The beautiful scenery as far as the grass and the trees, this is nice. We need more places like this.
But this is South Los Angeles. It's the Augustus Hawkins Nature Park and Wetlands at Compton and 54th Street. Councilwoman Jan Perry helped to get the wetlands created here and restore the water features and walking paths. She says she's on a mission to create more spaces just like this one.
As many amenities as I can bring to bear as quickly as possible for people to be able to use for themselves and their families, that's what I'm going to keep doing.
In 2001, Perry spent more than $52 million on parks and recreation in her district. A new park near Central and 49th is under construction. Alex Oliveres is playing a game of football with his kids at Augustus Hawkins Nature Park. He says there's a reason it's taken South L.A. so long to get more green space.
A lot of people are scared of South L.A. because of the gang crime. A lot of people really don't pay attention that much to parks no more because they think they're in a danger zone.
For Patrice Miles, the greener changes can't come soon enough.
The other parks that are around here are nothing like this. This is nice and clean, and I mean, the kids are having fun, as opposed to a lot of the other parks that you see where there's a graffiti all over the place and gang members just hanging out.
In addition to the new park under construction, Councilwoman Jan Perry has proposed the South Los Angeles Wetland Park at 54th and Avalon, which would include 9 acres with wetlands and a community center. Harmony April, Annenberg Radio News.
The nation's largest state university system may have reached critical mass, and an era of expansion may be coming to an end. The Cal State University system is cutting enrollment by 10% next year, and as Ed Cohen reports, teachers and students gathered at Cal State Long Beach today to protest the proposed cuts.
We need to spend every waking moment of every single day working to make sure there's enough revenue to fund our university system.
That's Lillian Tays, president of the California Faculty Association. She was speaking at a rally earlier today in Long Beach outside the office of the chancellor of the Cal State system. Roughly 200 people attended the event, mostly students, professors, and members of unions that work extensively on the Cal State campuses. The chancellor and trustees are meeting today and tomorrow, and the highest profile issue is the potential enrollment cap. Teresa Reese of the chancellor's office explains why it might be necessary.
We are funded the majority by the state. Our general funding supplies most of our budget to fund these students. And so although there are some students who pay their own tuition all the way, most of our students are funded by the state. And without that funding, we simply cannot take in any more students.
Students say they are already seeing the effects of the budget crunch. Bailey Smith is in the audio recording program at Cal State Dominguez Hills.
I'm a junior in the program, and we're seeing that compared to the seniors in the program, the people a year ahead of us, we're getting roughly one quarter to one eighth of the studio time, the time hands-on with our lab equipment that they had, and we're going to have to start paying higher fees for this lower quality education.
Miranda Glasper, a communications major at Cal State Northridge, says the situation has her worried.
They're cutting professors, they're cutting classes.
next thing you know, students are going to be dropping out, not being able to come back. So I don't want to get to that point where I can't come back.
Mia Williams, a health administration major at Northridge, says she comes from a low-income family and is concerned about the prospect of cuts to financial aid.
Are you holding out any hope, knowing how bad the situation is with the state?
I don't even know what to think. I don't even want to think about it right now. It's just overwhelming.
No announcement about the potential enrollment cap is expected until Thursday. Ed Cohen, Annenberg Radio News.
Community Asset Development Redefining Education, or CADRE, is an organization that advocates for parent and student rights in South Los Angeles schools. I spoke to the group's senior organizer, Rob McGowan, about how statewide cuts to college admissions might affect students in this community. In the Los Angeles Times today, there was an article about the California State University system cutting its enrollment potentially by 10,000 in the near future. And the chancellor of the system said the enrollment cutback will be most deeply felt by students of color already underrepresented in the four-year college system. And I wonder, for in a community like South Los Angeles, would that hold true?
I absolutely agree with that statement. When California's, the way California's higher education is set up through the so-called master plan, it's set up so that every student gets an opportunity to have an education, whether if they're not qualified, quote unquote, enough to get into the UC system, they either go to the community college system or the Cal State system. When you start making cuts so broadly, what you end up finding out that you have most of the poor community, mostly black and brown, going to the community college and graduating from the Cal States, you know, cutting enrollment by 10,000, man, that's a lot of potential college graduates just not going to make it.
From the standpoint of a community organization like CADRE, what are the things that parents or community organizers can do? I mean, what can you do about the situation?
Well, a couple of things. The main points that we would love to make is that people got to get informed and get involved. A lot of times these things happen not just in our community, but to our community and to and things happen that affect our community that we're not even aware of. So by the time we become aware of it, it's too late, right? So the best thing to do is for people to get informed and get involved.
So then do you have any particular message for, you know, high school graduates who are facing these cuts in enrollment?
Don't give up. Don't give up. Get involved. Nothing's going to be handed to you on a platter. It's hard work, you know. It's, you know, I hate to use cliches, but sometimes when the reality of the situation is, you have to work and you have to look. The beauty about organizing is that you don't have to do it by yourself. So get involved with an organization, get informed, and participate.
I've been speaking with Rob McGowan, a senior community organizer with CADRE. Thanks for your time, Rob.
Anytime.
A consumer advocacy. Now we check in with Matt Mendez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Coming up on Annenberg TV News, gaining ground. Firefighters are making major progress in getting these Southern California wildfires contained. We'll have the latest. Plus, people finally allowed to return home, both to the mobile home park in Sylmar and in Orange County. We will have reaction from residents and Congress debating a big bailout for the big three automakers. Why some say the car companies should be allowed to fail. That's all coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision. We hope to see you then.
Thanks, Matt. A consumer advocacy group has concerns over a lack of privacy in Google applications. Hannah Kim has the story on our website. Log on to www.annenbergradio.org. The Los Angeles Regional Food Bank is reporting that demand for food aid is up 41% this year, thanks to the economic crisis. But it's not just the poor who are in need. Hear the story online at www.annenbergradio.org. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brian Frank. We'll be right back.